Thank you, Joanne. Thank you all for being here. In the middle of March last year, 2020, I was on the phone to my daughter, Jenna. She was 17 at the time. I was at home and she was at school. And the tone of the conversation was a bit tense, a bit serious, because as you'll remember, we were just a few days from going into lockdown. COVID cases and deaths were increasing exponentially in New York and Italy and Spain. Countries were locking down, flights were being cancelled, share markets were taking a pummeling, and people all around the world were bringing those they love close to them so they could look after them and be there, because we didn't know how bad this was going to be. So on the phone, I said to Jenna, "You should come home, because this is just not a good time to be living in rural India." And that's where she was, 80 kilometres east of Mumbai, and we had to get her home. So how did we end up in this situation? We have to go back 3 years to 2017. And she was 14 or 15, she was a student at Girls College, and one day out of the blue she said to me, "Dad, I want to live somewhere else. Can I go to a boarding school?" And this wasn't so unusual from her, because she's really, from a young age, been independent and adventurous, and she needs challenge. And we'd previously lived in Christchurch, and there are some big flash boarding schools there. And I said, "I understand you think you need more." So I said, "Okay, you look into it and get back to me." And a few weeks later, I say to her, "How's it going with looking at boarding schools?" And she says, "It's really slow. I didn't know how many boarding schools there are in New York. And in France, the boarding schools, they operate this way," and so on and so on. So you can see the situation. A few months later, she says, "Oh, I've applied to a scholarship to go to a school overseas. I don't know where it is, but it's this group. There's about 12 schools called United World College, and you apply for a scholarship, and they send you somewhere, and you don't know which one it will be." And at the time, some of you might know Rohan and Neil Stevens, who's a counsellor here, and he was at one of these schools in Germany. So a few weeks after that, I get a phone call from somebody who I didn't know saying, "Congratulations, your daughter is, she's won a scholarship, and she's going to, for the last 2 years of her schooling, she can go to the school in India." She was very excited, and in August 2018, she's 16 years old, and we're at Nelson Airport, and all her possessions are in two bags, and she'd said she didn't want anyone to go with her, and we're waving goodbye, and she's off to India. So that's how she got there. And the school, amazing school, 240 students, quite small, from 70 nations. So she loved it. She made great friends. This was her life. She was living in India, a lot of engagement with local with communities. And we're talking on the phone, and we're going to have to pull her out of the life she's made. She's really upset, and she's crying. And I was upset. And so we got a flight. The flight we could get was 8 days away. 8 days. Harrowing 8 days, getting up every morning and checking the world news, how's COVID progressing, and which countries still have their borders open, flights being cancelled, will India go into lockdown, will she get home? It seemed almost a miracle that on the day she was saying, "I'm going to the airport now." It was a flight that was via Singapore, and you have to remember at this time, this was exactly how the virus was being transmitted, international travel. The flight left, which was great. It landed in Singapore. She had about 4 hours there. And, airports were the worst place in the world. Tens of thousands of people from all around the globe passing through each day. This is where you're going to get the virus. And but this was the last step. So I was talking to her, it was probably about 4 a.m. And then I got, hung up, and I got the text I was been waiting for. "We're boarding." And I knew as long as she got on that plane, it took off, no matter what happened in the world, she would still hopefully be landing in Auckland. She's home. Sure enough, 10 or 11 hours later, I get a text. I'm in Auckland. I've got through immigration. And it's so funny hearing Kiwi accent again and so on. And that afternoon, she was in Nelson, just like that. So we were very lucky. And her older brother, who was in Christchurch at university, he came home because of the lockdown. So throughout that winter, something that was good for us is that we had all the kids home again, and we spent a lot of time together. So a year passed, and here we are. We're still living in a COVID world, a world of third and fourth waves, and lockdowns and variants and vaccines. So COVID is still truly with us. And a few weeks ago, almost a year to the day since that initial conversation, I was speaking to Jenna on the phone, and she started university. And she says to me, look, Dad, I don't want you to worry, but a week ago, a friend of mine at university who lives in the room above mine, a week ago, he tested positive for COVID-19. So we had a quick chat about that. And she was very quick to say, but apart from that, everything's going very well. You know, the lecturers are great, the classes are great, I'm settling in very well, the food's good, and I'm enjoying living in Tokyo. Thank you very much.